I got Auburn finding a way for the first time in what seems like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? This one's pure gut.
Not many rational ways to justify it, but like I said,
pure gut.
You. Oh, you're having a moment?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just pure gut. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us again here on another edition of Crane and Company. And for making us a daily watch or listen or both, we appreciate it. Remember, without you, there is no us. And the prediction train, well, fellas, it's just going to keep rolling on as we have former Michigan quarterback David Cone, who we've done a prediction for already for the regular season. To my left, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. To my right, and today, fellas, it's every day is important at Crane and Company. But we're going to be predicting the regular season for the Auburn Tigers.
Hey,
how are we feeling? How we feel, Blaine? Instant reaction. How are you feeling about it?
Not great.
Not great. That's better than how I feel.
Not great. It. Great, but not great, but not great, but great.
Yeah. Cone, when you look at Hugh Freeze, and we're going to go game by game. Remember, this is just regular season. We're going to get to who we think wins what conference, who makes the playoff, who wins the Natty, who wins the Heisman here shortly. But when you look at where Hugh Freeze is right now, and you look at this Baylor game, this opening game, and just what's the number for you in your mind that he needs to get to win-wise, win total-wise, to be the head coach?
I actually think that's a better question for you to answer for both of you guys as Auburn fans. Like, what's the actual number? I'll just say from, like, an outsider's perspective, the sentiment is that Hugh Freeze was the Alabama killer. I mean, this guy was beating Alabama when he was at Ole Miss and then got in a little trouble but was winning a bunch of games at Liberty. He was a natural selection to get back into the SEC. And when the Auburn job opened up, you were very vocal that he should get the job. I supported that decision as well. And it hasn't really worked out so far, especially because he's seen as the quarterback developer. Well, now you go get Jackson Arnold. I know there's not a lot of excitement around that, but I do think about it kind of in terms of a stock. I think he bought a stock low that could theoretically rise. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Remains to be seen. We're going to find out week one because this Baylor team is pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to give away all my predictions just yet, but I think you got to get to 8, right?
See, to me, it's either 8 or the right 7. And if they go 7-5, that means the right 7 means you have either beaten Alabama or Georgia or both, which I know is counterintuitive if you think they're going to go 7-5. I do wonder, though, if he were to go 6-6 and beat one of Alabama and Georgia, does Auburn keep him around for 2026? Blaine, what is the number? And it can be a couple, and give me circumstance on it. In your mind, what's the number to guarantee that Hugh Freeze?
8.
Man, I want that hoodie really bad he's got on right there.
Yeah,
I've never seen that before. It's 8? It has 8. To be 8, not the 7?
8 with a win over Bama or Georgia, and he could get away with 7. I think it's the same thing with Billy Napier, okay? If Jackson Arnold doesn't work out and he's a mediocre player and Hugh Freeze misses again, right? But Deuce Knight comes in and shows promise. See the future. Just like DJ Lagway came in and you can beat an Alabama with Deuce Knight, right? And the future looks bright for Auburn fans. You have your guy. You know it's your guy. It's the same thing. Well, a little bit different because Graham Mertz got hurt,
yeah.
I believe. And then DJ Lagway came in. They didn't finish phenomenal, but you saw the stardom that DJ Lagway had. If they win 7 and Jackson doesn't work out, but Deuce Knight comes in and looks like we all think he's going to look, I think that could save Hugh Freeze. But other than that, I think he has to get to 8.
Well, Florida did finish well. They finished really well. That's why, you know, DJ went out in the Georgia game. I think, 6-1 overall as a starter? You look at what Florida did in the back end of their schedule last year. They beat LSU. They beat Ole Miss. They beat FSU. I think they beat, Tulane in the bowl game? Like, Florida went on a good run at the end of last year. To Blaine's point, he's right if that were to happen with Jackson Arnold. But when you look at this roster that Auburn has now, and I've continued to say it, and I will say it, I think overall, maybe the best one that Auburn's had since going back to all the way to 2017, if we're going to be honest, from a offense, defense, we'll see what the special teams at the health of the kicking group is fine. You feel like the Australian punter is going to be good. But Cone, when you look at this roster overall, you feel good about the offensive line depth. I think there's some questions about the depth in the front seven. But when you look at the schedule to go along with it, this Auburn team, even if Jackson Arnold is just a good player, should definitely be able to get to 7 and 8 wins, because there's a couple stretches in the schedule where you feel pretty good about your odds.
No, definitely. I mean, like, look, I'm as excited about Auburn's wide receiver room as any in the country. That's going to be really exciting. And defensively, they played well last year. I think that they can build off of some of those defensive performances a year ago. Obviously, we can talk ad nauseum about the quarterback play, and we just have to see it, right? Two questions that I have for both you guys when we're talking about Hugh Freeze and being there long-term at Auburn. I mean, does the bowl game factor in to the amount of wins that you're thinking in your head? Remember, Michigan 7-5 a year ago. You beat Alabama in the bowl game. That means a lot to get to 8 and to have a win like that at the end of the year. And then two, does the amount of turnover that Auburn's had at head coach the last couple years, does that factor into, like, no, the fans don't make the decision. I'm talking about the decision makers at Auburn. Does that factor in and say, do we really want to move off of another coach even if he goes 6-6?
Well, a lot of it, I think, depends on who's available. If there's somebody out there that you would really, 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 really want, I think that's when you pull the trigger to make that decision. But obviously, they don't want to get rid of Hugh Freeze. They want this to work out. I said that I thought it was going to work out with Hugh Freeze and Auburn. I obviously hope that it works out as well. So I think they're going to give him every benefit of the doubt. To your point about the bowl game and being the 8th win, yeah, that'd be huge. You'd consider that 8. It'd be nice to go back to a bowl game and win a bowl game and get some of that momentum going into the offseason as you get ready for a year where the expectations are going to be even higher if it's a 7 or the 8 win mark. But to me, you know, I don't think the Auburn administration is like hanging on a cliff right now of whether to fire Hugh Freeze early or not in the season, unless it just all falls apart. I think they want to give him a chance.
I mean, yeah, I think they want to give him a chance. But if you go 6-6, you're fired. The expectations at Auburn is not changing because you are afraid to go get another head coach or something like that. Hugh Freeze is in year 3.
Yeah.
Correct. And if you do the same thing you did the first 2 years, you're not going to be the head coach.
Especially if you miss a quarterback.
Right. Well, until this day, I'll never understand this. All right, obviously, I'm not the head coach at Auburn. I'm not sitting in those meeting rooms. But for him to double down on Peyton Thorne the next year, I'll never understand.
Yeah.
I'll never understand. And to be honest with you, with the talent that was in the transfer portal at quarterback this year, for you only to come out with Jackson Arnold, I don't think it's good enough anyways. We'll see what he is on the field. But right now, if you're Hugh Freeze, you go 6-6, 7-5 without beating anybody important, you're not going to be the head coach. It's a make it or break it year for Hugh Freeze.
No, it is. It is. But the problem, and David, you bring up how good the defense was at points last year, and you're right, they were really good on first and second down.
Sure.
Auburn's got a clutch moment problem right now. Mm. And the only way you get out of that is by going and making plays in the game when it matters the most. Offense, right? The biggest moments, there was a couple that were positive, but you've kind of found a way to lose games. On defense, bring up the third down again. Blaine talks about it all the time. I've never seen a team rush 3 and blow more coverages behind it on third down and long than what Auburn did. So until Auburn can get that clutch factor back, all the other stuff is a moot point. But you feel like you got the guys to put yourself in the position to have the opportunity to make those big-time plays. And all it takes is one to flip it. I mean, let's even go back to the Texas A&M win last year. Bro, Texas A&M dropped a wide-open pass in the end zone that would have got that game to another overtime.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like the amount of games that Auburn blew leads is that what worries me. Players can only do so much. Sooner or later, it comes down to coaching. Right? Auburn, from a yard standpoint, was one of the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
From a red zone standpoint, one of the worst in the country. From a turnover standpoint, one of the worst in the country. Auburn outscored their opponents 88-41 in the second quarter. Opponents outscored Auburn 89-65 in the fourth quarter. That's coaching.
Yeah.
Right?
That's halftime adjustments.
That's halftime adjustments. So that has to get fixed. And I think this year, from a red zone standpoint, it can get fixed because now you have what? You have two weapons.
Yeah.
Eric Singleton Jr. is going to be a red zone nightmare, especially if you man him straight up. He can be the difference when it comes to that. So it's not only the talent on the roster, but the coaches making the right decision.
Yeah.
What has to change for all.
Yeah, because look, coaches have bad games too. Sometimes coaches play bad. We've all seen
Let's get into this.
All right, let's get into this schedule again. It's just the 12 regular season games. And boys, the first one's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And at Waco, Dave Aranda and Baylor turned it around last year. A lot of people are high on Baylor. Sawyer Robertson coming back did a great job taking over for Daquan Finn. You really like their wide receiver room. And it is on the road. And with Jackson Arnold, we're not going to know until we know. Like, regardless of what happens in practice, we're not going to know until we watch this man under the lights when it counts the most what he's going to be able to do. But when I look at this Baylor-Auburn game, and we have a great preview of this game, too, on our YouTube channel, I think the biggest advantage, Auburn, I think Auburn's roster overall is better than Baylor's. Not by leaps and bounds, but better. But I think the difference in this game is the edge of the line of scrimmage. Baylor's offensive line, their guard and center combo are really, really good. Really, really good. There's some questions at tackle and depth at tackle. On the defensive side, they got one, I know for sure, one interior defensive lineman that can really play. Another guy I'm interested to see, but rushing the passer-wise, where are they at and how much depth do they have? So I do think Auburn is going to be able to control the edge of the line of scrimmage, which means you control the line of scrimmage. I've got Auburn in a game where I think Baylor makes some mistakes late, and I got Auburn winning a close one on the road in Waco. A huge win. Hugh Freeze, I hate using the term must win, David, especially early in the season. Yeah. But when you look at the context and the circumstance of where Hugh is and where Auburn's program stands, this would be a massive one. I got them finding a way to beat a team that could win the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say must win either, but maybe better win.
Yeah.
You better
win. Yeah. Better not lose.
It's going to be a dogfight. Yeah. I got Auburn in a close one, winning this one, game one on the road. But let's don't forget, Dave Aranda needs this too.
Yeah.
Like Dave Aranda really, not just this game, this season, Dave Aranda needs to have a really good showing at Baylor like he did when he first got there. Also, like Jake said, we got a full preview of this game. You should check it out. And we're going to be live streaming this game.
Yeah. It's on a Friday.
Friday night.
On a Friday, baby. All right, Blaine.
Yeah.
How the boys starting off? Be honest with me.
No, I haven't beaten Baylor.
Good. Good job, Blaine.
Well, I'll say this one. Baylor's offense for the second half of the season absolutely took off. Absolutely. Sawyer Robinson doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion, just from a talent standpoint, arm strength standpoint. But I feel like this is a type of game that, you know, Kendrick Falk makes a difference in this type of game, coming off the edge. Pressure all day. I don't think Baylor has that guy on defense. I think they'll be good on defense. I think Auburn just has a better team. Even if this game's at Baylor, I think Auburn's favored -2.5. The over-under's at 56.5.
Which that game's going back and
forth. The points are going to get scored, but I think Auburn defensively makes a play late. Probably win by a field goal.
All right, so we all have Auburn starting off 1-0, which would be huge. All right, next 2 weeks. Let's go and look at the next two. You get Ball State at home. We got a lot of respect for the MAC. Feel like, obviously, Auburn should win that game and out-athlete Ball State. Maybe Deuce Knight gets some run. And then South Alabama. That's right.
USA.
USA.
We love South.
The alma mater. Yeah, shout out to the Jags down there. If they still had Gio Lopez, who's now at North Carolina, I'd actually be a little bit concerned about this one because he's got some witch in him. He's the Group of Five version. That's a knock on him. He looks a lot like Tua in the way he plays. He's not Tua. I think he's actually a little shorter than Tua, but he's got some witch ability about him. I just don't think South has enough coming up. I'm shocked that Auburn scheduled this game. Typically, Bama doesn't play Troy. Auburn doesn't play, you know, South Alabama, UAB, because, you know, God forbid you lose that game. You'll never hit the end of it within your own state. But I'm assuming we both have Auburn.
Double check marks for me.
Yep, yep.
3-0. Probably ranked top 15. 3-0 top. I mean, maybe. Auburn starting yeah. out, top start out, probably start yeah. top 20, top 25, somewhere around there. All right, then. Oh, geez, here we go. You're going on the road to Oklahoma. Game you blew last year at home, buddy. You blew it like bubbles at a birthday party in the second half. Peyton Thorne just throwing it right to people and not handing the ball to Jarquez Hunter. Anyways, sorry, I'm freaking out. Ed Norman, I got Oklahoma. They're a sleeper playoff team for me. I'm not telling you whether they're going to make it yet or not. But y'all know how I feel about Johnny Mateer, Arbuckle coming over. It's got a minor injury right now in fall camp, but he's always got a minor injury. I think he'll be fine. I think this Oklahoma team's a problem. Another name to keep an eye on, Giovanni Gibson. Everybody keeps talking about Deion Burks. Giovanni Gibson can absolutely go get it, too. I think Oklahoma just too much for Auburn there at home after beating Michigan in week two. Give me John Mateer and the boys to give Auburn their first loss to put Auburn to 3-1 with a trip to College Station next week. Ew, puke, gross.
I think John Mateer freaks out this game. I got Oklahoma winning this one. And if, like you said, Oklahoma does beat Michigan at home in week two, that'd be a 4-0 start for them.
Cooking.
This game was at the Jungle. It might be a little bit different, in my opinion. You got to remember, Auburn had a 21-10 lead going into the fourth quarter. Peyton Thorne threw three touchdowns, but he also threw a pick.
They basically had us playing wide receiver.
So this is another game that Auburn blew. I think it's going to be interesting. Jackson Arnold going to Oklahoma. I'm going to see how the fans welcome him a little bit. I'm sure it won't be that nice, but it's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's John Mateer. That'll be the difference.
Yeah. All right. So we all have Auburn.
3-1.
3-1. Then the next week, guess what? You have no time to lick your wounds. You got to go on the road to College Station in a revenge game for A&M. Because if we're being honest, you can point to that Texas game, last game of the year for A&M, getting them at home. You had your opportunity. You lost. But if they beat Auburn, they're in the college football playoff.
You think so?
I think they're in. I think they're in.
Hmm. They would have been another one of those 9-3 teams.
Well, I thought they'd have been 10-2. Because didn't they end up going 9-3 last year? No, or were they 8-4?
I thought it was because they had, because to beat that's Texas, right. They had a shot at the SEC champion.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's right. That's right.
I could be wrong. That was
all right. So, look, again, what happened last year, A&M, that overtime game is one of the best games of the year, I thought. I'm higher on Marcel Reed than a lot of people are. I don't think he's getting talked about enough. I think what Mike Elko did in year one, they're only going to be better in year two. They're only going to understand that defense even more. And now Marcel Reed's had a whole offseason with Colin Klein. You bring in Casey Concepcion. They've got weapons on offense. Think up front on the line of scrimmage, A&M's going to be just fine. I think they beat Auburn to put Auburn to 3-2 and 0-2 in the SEC, and people starting to get a little bit nervous with Georgia on the horizon.
So you have Texas A&M?
I got A&M winning that game at home, and I've got Auburn at 3-2 at this point.
Man, I've got the exact same thing right now. Sorry to be boring, but I got 3-2.
Oh, we just got to tell you
Texas A&M holding serve at home.
Well, I think Texas – I know more about Texas A&M team than I know about this Auburn team.
Yeah.
Remember, Auburn was up 21-7 going into halftime last year. This game ended up going to 4 Auburn overtimes, and Auburn ended up winning. But I think the A&M roster is a little bit different this year. I think Le'Veon Moss is going to be the difference in this game. So I have A&M winning. Close one. I think Auburn plays well. I think A&M pulls it out.
What if you could delay your next two mortgage payments? Wait, you can do that?
Wait, can I do that?
Hold on. That's right. Imagine putting those two payments in your pocket and finally getting a little breathing room. It's possible when you call American Financing today. If you're feeling stretched by everyday expenses, groceries, gas, bills piling up, you're not alone. Most Americans are putting these expenses on credit cards, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. American Financing can show you how to use your home's equity to pay off that debt. You need to call American Financing today before you get to a point where you can't make those payments. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are helping homeowners just like you restructure their loans and consolidate debt, all without upfront fees. And their customers are saving an average of $800 a month. That's like a $10,000 raise. It's fast, it's simple, and it could save your budget this summer. Call now before it's too late. 866-85-1081. That's 866-885-1081. 1081 or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Crane & Company. Call American Financing today to find out how customers are saving an average of $800 a month, 866-885-1081 or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Crane & Company. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, Vanity Phone and URL 866-885-1081, AmericanFinancing.net/Crane & Company. All right, so 3-2. Started off feeling good about yourself at 3-0, get a nice win at SEC. Baylor.
Not ranked.
And all
anymore.
Of a sudden, no.
Not ranked.
Yeah, not ranked anymore. You get a bye week.
Yes.
And then Georgia comes to town. And if you watched our Georgia preview, you already know where I'm standing on this. Georgia's roster is better than Auburn's. It's better than Auburn's. I'm interested to see Gunnar Stockton and his ability to maybe be able to show some touch, maybe not just throw everything 100 miles per hour in there. But there's always a game. With Georgia, whether it's against a team that's inferior to them, where they don't play up to the standard that we normally see at Georgia. Auburn and Georgia is one of the oldest rivalries we have. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry, according to most. I think Auburn, after dropping two in a row, getting that bye week, having to have it, finds a way. Something crazy happens. It's a blocked punt. It's something out of the ordinary happens in Jordan Hare late. Gunnar Stockton throws an interception late when Georgia's driving, and Auburn finds a way to beat Georgia to go 4-2.
Yep.
Give Georgia their first loss, according to what I have of the season, because I haven't beaten Kentucky and Bama the weeks before that. I got Auburn finding a way for the first time in what seems like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? This one's pure gut.
Yep.
Pure gut.
Not many rational ways to justify it, but like I said,
pure gut.
You're having a moment?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just pure gut.
I can feel staring at me.
Yeah.
I was like, David, finish for you.
Let's go ahead, David. Sorry.
Many of the same things, man. It's hard to rationalize it. I mean, if the game were in Athens, I wouldn't think twice about it. If it were on the plains, but say like week one, I'd have Georgia winning. But just the way that it's sandwiched in here, I mean, it'll be Gunnar Stockton's second true road test. Mm-hmm. Auburn has a bye week the week before. I got them 3-2 leading into that game. There's a lot of pressure. I don't know. It's just a gut thing. I may be absolutely embarrassed by this prediction on October 11th, but I got Auburn holding serve at Jordan Hare.
Both y'all. Somebody check the baby's diaper. It smells funny in here.
Georgia's got too much talent on this roster. I think it'll
be too much.
Too much. It's not Auburn. The Auburn crowd. The Auburn crowd will keep Auburn in it, but I think at the end of the day, the cream will rise to the top. Georgia's one of the most talented rosters in the country. So I'm taking Georgia and a pretty comfortable win in this game.
I can't.
Wait, so you got Auburn at 3-3.
Hey, he's so calm right now saying that.
He is.
Fourth quarter.
Oh.
Auburn's up 3 with 6.
I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, I can't wait.
God, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, we'll see.
Every bit of me hopes I'm wrong.
All right, so I've got Auburn at 4-2.
Same.
Cone does. You got Auburn at 3-3.
Yep.
And next week, they get to host Missouri. Now, I'm telling you, this Missouri team, like we've said, there's some sneakiness to them, I think. But here's a big problem that they have, and I get that Auburn plays Georgia the week before. Well, Missouri plays Bama the week before this game. So that's going to be a physical war with the way they're going to run Bo, and I think the way this Missouri team is really going to be a solid defense, ball control style of offense, unless Prabula is just something in the passing game that at least I don't see coming. Not that he couldn't be. I think we're going to get a different flavor of ice cream from Drinkowitz. I think Auburn in an ugly game, in a low-scoring game, beats Missouri. I think it's within a score. I think this is a touchdown game. I think it's still in the air with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, but I think Auburn finds a way to move on and get to 5-2 with the win over Missouri at home.
Yeah, I think Missouri keeps this close. They're scrappy. Cam Coleman freaks out this game, maybe even has the game-winning touchdown catch. And just keep in mind, while Auburn is coming off the Georgia game, Missouri's coming off playing Alabama, too. So it's not like they have a bye week leading up to this game. I got Auburn winning this one, and they go to, what, 3-4-5?
5-2. 5-2. What do you got?
I got Auburn cruising in this
one.
Cruising in this one. I think the Auburn
belt to ass
show up. Not belt to ass, but close.
But showing the belt?
Yeah.
And the ass?
But close. I'm chasing you with the belt.
I'll catch you.
But damn it, it's close. I think the defense gets after Bo. He throws a couple interceptions, makes a couple mistakes, and Jackson Arnold has a really solid game. I got Auburn winning this by 2 touchdowns.
All right. So then the next week, again, Auburn's got 5 straight games. No bye week here. The next week, you go to Arkansas and Fayetteville. And when you look at Arkansas, they've got Tennessee and then A&M before they play Auburn. So again, this Arkansas schedule is brutal if you really go through it. At this point, we'll see Arkansas. You got Ole Miss, Memphis, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and then Auburn. At this point, does Arkansas still believe? And is Taylen Green even healthy? I actually stared at this one a while, but the weird thing about Auburn and Arkansas is the road team typically plays better in this game. I think Auburn finds a way. This could be an overtime game. I think it's scary. I think just like the Missouri game, it's scary. Could possibly be low scoring, but give me Auburn to find a way on the road in Fayetteville and to get David Cone their fourth win in a row. And now people are starting to ask questions. They ain't asked a lot.
I thought you had them losing to A&M.
I have them losing to A&M. So this would be wins over Georgia, Missouri and Arkansas, so 3 in a row. Sorry. I put the cart before the horse, Kentucky. But I've got Auburn over Arkansas.
Boys, I got Arkansas in this one.
Probably, yeah.
Taylen Green,
may not be wrong.
Bobby Petrino, and if they lost the 2 weeks before Tennessee, Texas A&M, pressure's heating up. I don't think this is an Arkansas team that's going to quit, though, on the season just because they have a couple losses. It's going to be in Fayetteville, man. Look, again, gut feeling on Georgia-Auburn. You can't really rationalize it. I think Auburn goes and loses one of these games against, like, Arkansas, Kentucky, or Vanderbilt. And right now I got Arkansas.
I may agree.
Well, wouldn't be surprising, man. I lost 2 out of the 3 teams you named in Arkansas and Vanderbilt last year. Taylen Green threw for 150 yards, 80 yards on the ground.
And on one play. Like,
on
you remember
one
that one play
he
on, like,
2 interceptions. But, you know, Peyton Thorne, rest in peace, wasn't good in this game. I mean, only threw for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I think Auburn's a better team. I think it's going to be close, but I think Auburn takes it.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
It's on the road.
All right. So at this point, I've got Auburn guys at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5-2 to this point. Playing Kentucky at home. I think Kentucky could be the worst team in the SEC I want to see them in Mississippi State. I don't want to sit here and go on some big diatribe.
You got 6-2.
I got 6-2.
I got 5-3.
Yes, I got them because I got them beating Kentucky. So I got them at 6-2. You've got them, like you said, losing to Arkansas. So, again, I don't want to sit here and just crap all over Mark Stoops and Zach Calzada. We talked about him a little bit. I think this is the swan song for Mark Stoops and them. Give me Auburn over Kentucky at home.
I have the same thing, boys. I think Auburn wins this one, and that moves them to 6-3 yep. for me.
All right, Blaine.
Yeah, I mean, this is a win. Kentucky's bad.
Worst team in the SEC, you think?
I mean, it's going to be an absolute rat race with Mississippi State. We'll see.
It won't be that bad, will it?
Bad I mean, last year, they didn't win
bad,
SEC.
Bad, David.
They and look did. Who they beat lost. Ole Miss oh, at Ole Miss.
Look who they lost.
They won a huge SEC
lost.
Game.
Just one.
That's a big one.
I mean, all right, so at this point with that win, I've got Auburn at 7-2. That's right. That's right. I've got Auburn at 7-2. And then face Voldemort.
Hmm.
The boy who lived. The boy that Hugh Freeze.
The Hugh Freeze killer.
The Hugh Freeze killer.
Terrorist.
Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. Beat him at New Mexico State. Came into Jordan-Hare last year and beat Auburn to get bowl eligible. And guys, Auburn's going to be pissed off, jacked up for this one. It's going to be up here in Nashville, right where we're at. Maybe able to get to see the boys for a little bit. But they're taking an L. This is Auburn. This is classic Auburn.
Who's taking an L?
Auburn is. Auburn's taking an L.
Oh, you got Vandy
in this
one?
No, this is classic Auburn. This is classic Auburn, dude. Just vibe with me. This is classic Auburn. I'm going to go through it right now, what I have. Beginning, first three games, hope. See that? It's hope. Then you go over the next two games, Oklahoma and A&M, pain. Then you go next four games, hope. Beat Georgia. Hope solo. Hope won Kenobi.
He knows about beating.
But then all of a sudden, when the hope's at an all-time high, and you're sitting there at 7-2, and you could beat Vandy to go 8-2, you're going to beat Mercer to go 9-2, which means the Bama game at home? The Bama game at home could put you in the college football playoff? What do? You go lose to Vanderbilt on the road. That's probably what's going to happen. And I hate to say this.
You sound excited about it.
No, I'm not. I'm actually upset. Pure gut.
Okay.
Pure gut. They're going to lose at Vandy, and I'm going to be so pissed.
What do you think?
I got Auburn to win in this game. Vandy's not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Yeah.
Those days are over, right? Auburn is going to know exactly what they're walking into.
But has he snuck up?
He didn't sneak up on Hugh Freeze, man.
Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia may have snuck up on Alabama and the rest of the SEC, but he was beating Hugh Freeze before last year, so.
Still, I mean, it's Vanderbilt. It's Vanderbilt. See, I'm not falling
they
got for this
They
shit.
Won Vanderbilt last year.
This isn't going to be, look, sooner or later, a squirrel finds a nut every now and then, all right? This isn't going to be the same Vanderbilt team that was last year. It's not. Diego Pavia didn't play good against Auburn. And they still won because Peyton.
Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
I mean, he threw for 140 yards.
He played
that
doesn't bad. Make me feel Auburn, better.
Auburn had 7 points in that game.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia didn't win that game.
That's the scary part.
Won that game.
That's the scary part.
Auburn's offense is not going to be what it was last year.
I hope it's you're
not.
Right.
And their defense is just as good, if not better, at Auburn than it was last year. Vanderbilt's not sneaking up on anybody. And pencil this in. Auburn's not losing to Vanderbilt.
Okay. All right. Pencil it in.
You know what?
I really felt good
him.
About it. You're right.
I agree with him.
Thank you,
I think
David.
Auburn comes up here to Nashville
you,
and makes a statement.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Awesome. Hey, I hope you're right.
Freeze killer, not this year.
I hope you're right.
You freeze tags
here's,
him back.
Here's the problem, absolutely. Though. I've just been on this ride for 35 years, yeah. So I know how it goes. I'm just telling you. All right. Hope you're right. All right. You got a bye week. Then Mercer, please God, beat them. We feel good about it.
Ooh,
Mercer's
yes.
made it weird look, a couple times.
Look, I was
that
on
defense
the
Mercer's
line,
made
seven.
It weird a couple times.
I was on
times.
The sidelines for an Auburn Mercer game. We
yeah.
won over 5 times and won by like 10.
Yeah, we had a bunch of lawyers
yeah.
winning.
But that's
out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a clean walkthrough for Auburn.
All right. So at this point, I've got Auburn at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 3.
Same.
Heading into the Iron Bowl. People are already saying it's a success. Hugh, they're sending Hugh 9 irons and putters and golf bags and head covers and
are
other
they
stuff.
At 8-3?
At 8-3? And with a win over Georgia, you bet your ass, buddy. I'll send him one myself. So you get Bama at home. Everybody's fired up. Huge game. Could a 9-3 team slip in there? If it happens how I think it's going to happen, Bama at this point, 10-1. 10-1. You beat them and say you beat Georgia, who I got at 10-2, and then Bama? How does that 9-3 team not sneak their ass in there in that playoff and go look around and get some answers? But what did I say earlier?
Hope.
Hope.
Hope. Hope solo.
Hope is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. And until I see Auburn clutch up, and I know people say, well, then how do you have them picking Georgia? Different part of the season, different circumstance. I think Bama wins this game. And Auburn goes 8-4. And at the end of the day, some people, you beat one of Alabama and Georgia. You're going to go to a good bowl game. Everybody should, it should help recruiting. Maybe Jackson Arnold looked really good. Maybe he didn't, and Deuce Knight looked really good. So 8-4, and I would love to be wrong.
Well, look, I picked Auburn in this game last year. I never heard the end of it in my household, which would have been all well and good if I had gotten the prediction right. But I didn't. Can't pick them again. Got Alabama winning this one in Jordan-Hare. 8-4 for me.
Look, the waves get pretty high in the Bermuda Triangle. It's tough to get that out. If you watch the Alabama preview, you know where I'm going with this, which a lot of you have. I think Auburn wins this football game. Do I think Alabama has a better roster? Yeah. I mean, from top to bottom, they're a better roster. But I've watched Auburn teams with mediocre talent beat elite Alabama teams. When you're in Jordan-Hare, doesn't matter what your last name is, doesn't matter how much money you're making in NIL, all that shit's out the window. Auburn this year, if Jackson Arnold can be good with the talent they have at receiver and the key pieces they have in the secondary and the D-line, at Auburn with that crowd in the jungle, Auburn can win this football game, and I do have him winning this game going 9-3.
Wow.
Wow. The year.
That'd be so awesome, Danny.
9-3.
God, we're
going to have 7-5.
Book it.
All right.
Hey, hold on one second. I almost forgot. Talking about the Iron Bowl, our boy Jay Busby wrote this new book about
Iron in the Blood,
how the Alabama versus Auburn rivalry shaped the soul of the South.
That's why it's the greatest rivalry, David. Thank you so much for pointing that out.
Look, man, it's a great one. I haven't read this yet, but y'all pick it up. We can all learn together.
All right, in the comments, I can already tell. It's a war down there, all right? It's just part of it. You know what you sign up for, right? Who's going to carry the boats? Let us know. What do you have Auburn's regular season record? I just cannot wait to read the comments on this.
9-3.
I got 8-4. You got 8-4. Make sure if you're not subscribed yet, you subscribe. We appreciate you being here. And regardless of who you root for, we got some more predictions coming out. Your team or the team you hate, or a team you got to play that maybe you don't hate. We're going to be talking about it here on Crane & Company. Like the chances of me not taking an 8-4 season right now, point blank, hand it to me if I'm Auburn.
Come on, Hugh!
Gone.